This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I don't know the rules about verification because nobody's ever touched me with verification.
I'll touch you with verification.
You know, the set myself up.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Right into the mic's good, Mick. Mick Schaefer from TV. Here in the Zone with us. Hi, Mick.
And all of a sudden, the phlegm is gone, and I have my anchor voice back.
Hi.
Hi. I'm TV's Mick Schaefer.
TV's Mick Schaefer.
Hi, I'm TV's Patrick Duffy. You may know me from such shows as Step by Step.
I wonder what my best... What's your best projecting voice? I mean, you've got a presenter voice,
I don't have
right?
one. I don't have one. I've never tried to have one. I wish I did. I would have been better at, like, play-by-play, right? I feel like you need
the
that.
The 2-2.
You need the voice more for play-by-play than you do for TV, like, studio stuff.
I feel like you can go down there and get that gravel, but
but it feels like it's, like, fabricated at
exactly.
that point.
That's right.
I want to be natural, all natural. Okay, when I'm on the air, you're getting me.
Yeah.
Unsheathed.
Uh-huh.
Unclothed. Naked even.
Ungroomed.
Ungroomed.
Unwashed.
Washed. Wild.
It smells horrible in here.
Radio, though, I put clothes on.
Yeah, radio, you put clothes on, and the radio voice, weirdly, is just, you settle into that. You eventually lean back in the chair, and the
your
ambience
voice is the same. You don't like,
together.
You don't fake it.
There'd be no way for anyone else to know. What if I do fake it?
Natural voice is down here. Just thought it'd be distracting.
I just never heard your natural voice.
Nope. I put on a fake higher voice to not be overwhelming for people. I just thought this might be a little on the nose. So.
No. Jason's got a good voice for radio.
Yeah.
Real good voice.
Face for it, too.
Face, yeah. Just an uggo.
Just built for
my
radio.
My gosh.
Did you hear the K-State press conferences? I was going to ask you that before we came back on air, but I forgot I had a sports center, so I didn't have a chance
to ask
you.
Yeah, I was listening to
it. You're P1.
I'm a P1 when I'm on the show.
Jerome Tang has... Often people have been like, you know, K-State didn't worry about winning the press conference. Did Jerome Tang lose a press conference that I was unaware of? Because every time he talks, especially now, maybe because there's just success behind it.
Yeah.
The dude is just completely legit. There is... What you see is what you get, and what you see is totally alien to so much of college sports. I'm fascinated by him.
Nobody, winning or losing a press conference is the stupidest thing. The only people that care about that are us guys in the media.
Right.
That's it. And nobody, whoever the new coach is, in every school, in every situation, almost 100% of the time, 100% of the fan base are going to love him or her
right.
after that first press conference. Because it's a change from the last guy or girl who you hated because apparently they weren't winning enough or because they bounced for some other job. So that's dumb. I remember the first press conference. He's kind of goofy about it,
yeah.
right, when he was out there. And that's been his style the
he's
entire time.
Yeah.
And I've seen that quote, too. I think maybe what they meant was maybe, like, they weren't worried about making the splash higher.
Sure.
Right.
Right. Les Miles.
Like, Charlie Weiss really can't coach,
yeah.
but we're bringing him in.
Right. Right. And the guy with the pedigree. And not even that, because Jerome Tang kind of had that from Baylor. But
but he's nobody. I follow the sport. I never heard of him. Right.
Right. He was not, again, maybe winning the press conference is just hiring a coach from a school that had more success. And then you being like, yeah, you'll bring that over here,
yeah.
which is not necessarily, that was the KU model, the KU yeah. football model for a little while. Didn't work out great.
Couple times.
Couple yeah. times.
They tried it with the obscure guy in David Beatty.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
No.
Then they got kind of between obscure and you've heard of him in that, like, somebody who's had great success mm-hmm. at a smaller school, a la a Chris Klieman.
Yes.
Who came in right away and was a great hire at Kansas State on the football side. I think there is there's a formula to it all. I think there is, like, having somebody with some sort of time as the head man somewhere, but then we say that and look at Jerome Tang. I mean, he was a head high school coach a couple decades ago.
It even something that he talked about today, it was both him wanting everyone on his staff to feel like a real, like, the it is their program was the term that I think
servant
he used
leadership.
There.
I love it. I was at a leadership program in college, and we studied the teachings of Leo, and he was the ultimate servant leader.
The Ninja Turtle?
He was almost like undercover boss. Like he was on the ship. He was like the guy who did all the janitorial work. He was mopping the deck, right? He was raising and lowering the mast. He was doing all the grunt work. And it turns out he was actually the captain of the ship.
And it feels like he got some of that from Scott Drew, where he talked about, hey, Scott Drew always said, just prepare like you're the head coach. Like, this is your team. And it makes hiring, I'm sure, absolutely impossible, because it is very, very hard to figure out who has actually been able to learn that way. But Jerome Tang, I mean, maybe if you go back earlier in the season, I'm sure there might be some examples. But at no point has he had, like, the first-year head coach blunder. He seemed ready for all these moments.
I think he's taken a ton from Scott Drew. They're both obviously deeply rooted in their faith, and they've applied that to the basketball court, at the same time being welcoming of any and all faiths, of no faiths, of whatever, of everybody, which he said before, that's what, you know, a true Christian should be like. But he's also been himself, to where, like, mm-hmm. the difference, I think, is that he's been himself, and Scott Drew's always been himself. And the difference there is they're different people. Like,
yeah, right.
Tang's kind of a nut.
Right.
Right. He's just kind of a nut. He's just this funny dude.
Yeah.
And he I appreciate that he doesn't always play the game with press conference questions or with media questions, to where, like, he will listen to it and he's going to answer it honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks it's kind of like a question that's like he's tired of, like the one about, like, was it like beating a school with the tradition of Kentucky?
Right.
Then he'll pop off back a little bit. And he's like, those dudes that played back then, they didn't have any factor today.
Yeah.
What had factor today is that we had more dudes than they had dudes. And all Kentucky fans are all butthurt over that.
Right.
And then even today when he asked about, which I thought was a good question, like, okay, what are the do's and don'ts of the portal that you've learned so far? He's like, well, I'm not going to give those away.
Yeah.
Where I think a lot of coaches like Scott Drew would kind of like give the generic answer and not kind of fire back with something. But he's kind of honest and open up there, and it's really kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
And he doesn't pop off back in any sort of disrespectful way. He'll just say, like, here's what I think about that question.
Yeah.
In his little kind of high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
And I'll have this little footnote about it. And I'll move on. I think in that way he's very unique, and he's very different from Scott Drew. But they're running a lot of the same stuff. They ran the football out of bounds play that Baylor does a lot that works. I think there's a lot to that. We should maybe see it more. But I love the story. I mean, I don't think who's going to be national coach of the year over him. It's him, it's Painter, it's Sampson, and the fourth
Nate
is,
Oates was in there for a while.
No, it's not. Shaka Smart is the fourth.
Oh,
now.
I see, from the actual. Got it.
Yeah, from the Naismith. I'm talking about Naismith Final Four, which I think we all consider is kind of the biggest. I don't know, is there maybe an AP Coach of the Year that we consider bigger? But Naismith is huge. I mean, I don't know when the votes had to be cast or put in, but if it's still open now, I mean, with the flameouts of Marquette and Purdue, I think it's maybe a two-horse race between, you know, Sampson and Tang, and I'd give it to Tang.
Yeah, I think I would, too. Something else, this is weird to be looking ahead to next season for K-State while the Sweet 16 is tomorrow, but we were talking to Kevin Flaherty at 24/7 Sports earlier in the show, and he was saying, look, I've been around some of the guys that they have coming in next, and this is not going to be some sort of, like, one-year spike of you hit the transfer portal really hard and you build your roster up for 1 year and then you kind of take that big step back. I have no idea if you're in deep on K-State recruiting at all.
No.
I am not. I will not push that. But the idea of there being maybe a little bit of a worry that, hey, you know, how do you follow this up? It doesn't seem to me like anybody in Manhattan should have anything to worry about in terms of this being a program that is genuinely on the rise and not having their lightning in a bottle season.
And it's great in that, like quote unquote senior is now like a moving target in college sports.
Yes.
To where, like, if you want, you could always come back. I think if you wanted to play college sports forever.
DeJuan Harris has 2 more years of eligibility. We were going through that this morning. What was it? It was Beards. It was Bobby Pettiford and DeJuan Harris have the same amount of eligibility left, which is 2 more years each.
And then Harris is 2 grades older than Pettiford.
And then Jalen Wilson could come back if he wanted.
Sure could. Yeah, doors open. Look, doors always open. Grady Dick could play in Kansas until 2027,
it's a lot like
I think.
The NFL salary cap,
sure,
right? You can just kind of kick that junior and senior status can down the road and have to pay it later, but Not now.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. Yeah, you can always move scholarships around. That's how that works, right? Did you watch the World Baseball Classic last night?
I did.
I know on Sunday we had talked a little bit after sound off that we've been kind of paying attention but hadn't like sat down and watched it. I watched like 8 innings of that thing last night, and by the time the ninth came around, then it was clear, holy bleep, we're going to get Ohtani versus Trout for the World Baseball Classic. No sarcasm in my voice whatsoever. I was amped for March baseball. I blew my mind.
It was really cool. Now, the semifinal between Japan and Mexico.
Also nuts.
That was a better game.
Fair.
Than the championship, but it's baseball. You can't always bank on a great game every time, right?
If you get great moments, you get Randy Rosarena, rob a home run, and then just stare.
Yeah, I would say for the most part, I mean, like, NFL football is the one where the highest percentage of the time you're going to get a great game in big games. And even then, we have some crummy Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. But the way the NFL is structured and everything, pretty much every game's a close game. You're going to get something like that. Baseball's hard to do. But they had a great turn. It's the best run they've had. Is it every 3 years now? What are we doing? Do we know?
I was hoping. I have just been vague about that for a while now.
I think COVID threw a wrench into those plans. But as I've said before, I remember the WBC being like a kind of like a punchline before. Like,
yep.
Oh, man. Really? They got to go play in this. And it was never televised to this level before. And so I think that helps tremendously. And just the willingness of all of baseball's, or at least a gigantic majority of baseball's stars to take part in it. I think it's really cool. I mean, I love the Olympics. In sports, mm-hmm. I don't care about, right?
Yes.
What is it? The biathlon, which...
Sure.
What is that? That's cross-country skiing and shooting.
Shooting.
How drunk were you when you thought of that sport?
It's incredible.
Right? Just don't be drunk when you do it.
I will watch
that and just... Yep. Cheer my ass off for the American who's getting 15th because we know the Nordic countries are dominating the biathlon, but it doesn't matter what it is, what country v country, it's just awesome. And especially when that happens in baseball and you got name brand guys out there, not like it's been before where you've had minor leaguers play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the stars haven't wanted to do it. This time around was great.
Bobby Witt Jr. was a pinch runner in this version of the team. I mean,
did he pinch run last night? He pinch run the game before. Did he get in at all last night?
He did last night, and then I think it was Mookie Betts grounded into the double play right before Trout. So it was thinking, oh man, he could be on base for the Trout Ohtani thing. We were going to get a lot of spring training questions for him out of that. Some opening day. Hey, Bobby, what was it like being on the field? And yeah, so he ended up in the dugout for that. But he did end up out there. And the thing that I really just did not realize, didn't expect, whatever, that became clear over the rest of the tournament, the other countries are about it. Like, this is baseball is an international sport, which, you know, we knew it was in some literal sense well before this. But seeing the worldwide excitement of what this drummed up, I did not expect at all to be grabbed by the World Baseball Classic. And they had Twitter moments. You know, there are people tweeting out the clips and saying, hey, come watch this, because it's going to be like, when you turn it on, you're going to see the energy and feel that. I was surprised and really impressed with it. The next one for it will be in 2026, because
I heard them say that. So yeah, I guess we're like doing it every 3 years. But I think the last one was 19,
It was 17. Scheduled to be 4 years later, but it was postponed. The 2021 one was postponed to this year due to COVID, and then so the next one now will be in 2026.
Yeah, I'm up for doing that like every other year, maybe every 2 years.
Seriously?
Like the Ryder Cup. And then I really appreciated so I was watching the Royals game at the same time.
Amazing.
Because they were on Bally Sports last night. They were broadcast. And so they were interviewing Vinny Pasquantino right after Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout went at. And so the announcers, Rex was one of them, and I think it was, is it the new guy, or might have been the AAA guy? I can't remember. They informed Pasquantino. They're doing an in-game interview. They're like, hey, so is Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani at the end of the final out of the World Baseball Classic? He's like, no way. He goes, and he turns to MJ Melendez, who's not mic'd up, who's not hearing. He's like, hey, MJ, do you know Shohei and Mike Trout at the end of the World Baseball Classic? He's like, no, I had no idea. He goes, you know they play for the same team? They do. Like one of those things you've heard a million times. No, but they do. They play for the same team. And MJ was loving it. And so, yeah, I mean, just Pasquantino having a great series for the for the Italian team and getting to go overseas. What, he played awesome. In Taiwan,
yep,
right?
I think so.
And did you see the pregame speech from Shohei?
Yeah, I did.
That's really cool.
Incredible.
Translated of like, it was almost like a Rocky moment, but they were Rocky. Like, it's time to stop admiring them.
Yep.
Stop being afraid of them, because we can't beat them if we admire them to where, like, you saw in Japan, at least, how much they revered the Americans in baseball. And
Gotta put that away.
Think about it, like, awesome. I mean, those two leagues, the Japanese League and Major League Baseball, have been pretty much separate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll get a handful, I mean, but it's not like, you know, Dominican players,
right?
You know,
you
coming in, Puerto Rican players,
crossover guys,
Venezuelan, right?
Yeah.
Cuban, even
absolutely.
To where like some of their stars will come over,
mm-hmm.
they will. But for the most part, they're kind of doing their own thing out there, and they do it differently. And man, they do it well.
Yeah.
And so I just love the pregame speech there, and I mean I'd cheer for the United States, but I mean it's a baseball game, you know, that a AAA team could go out and probably beat Team USA one game because that's how baseball works,
right? And Shohei Ohtani just seems like the most likable, easy to root for dude,
yeah.
maybe in baseball. Did you hear my idea for how we save baseball?
Something around Shohei.
I'll pitch
the money.
I'm going to pitch it to you. Shohei,
yes,
the
okay,
money
yeah.
is the important
yes.
part. Shohei the money is the important part. So next year he's a free agent. Not the Angels, Shohei.
Royals.
Please not the Angels. Royals would be great. John Sherman, you want this downtown stadium? I got an idea for you. Sign Shohei Ohtani. We'll get it figured out. I'll pay taxes for his contract. That's what I'm willing to do.
Raise it like 2% just for Shohei.
Don't care. I will just write it. I'll write a check for whatever that needs to be. But so instead of signing with a team next year, what he does is he goes around the league, 30 teams. Every team gets 5 games. You build in a few off days in there for travel and everything. Pitches once. DH is the rest. You maybe get him in the field at one point. It'd be fun, whatever. He pitches one game for every team, plays 5 total. Every team gets to make and sell Ohtani jerseys. You're going to sell out your home games when you have Shohei Ohtani on your team for basically a week. Pay him $1 million a game. Every MLB team, I feel like, should be doing that. But wait, there's more. Camera crew follows him around. It's a Drive to Survive style sports documentary.
Full swing type
full
deal.
Full swing
yeah.
slash bachelor show, because at the end of the season, you're also wooing Ohtani. So at the end of the season, you submit your offers and then he decides where he's going to play, and a special live Netflix original where in that final episode, he announces where he's going to sign with long term.
Baseball saved.
Like, I feel like, here's the thing. At one point, this idea was kind of a joke. And now I'm thinking, well, if you gave me that, it would be the most fascinating thing to happen in baseball in a million years. We all watched Aaron Judge last year. I get it. And still, people got sick of seeing Aaron Judge during their college football games. This, though, this is the combination of all the things sports needs right now. Little reality TV crossover, biggest star in baseball. I feel like this is a turnaround moment.
What better way to honor the final Major League Baseball stop of Hideo Nomo's career than to come play for Kansas City, Shohei?
I think this is a great idea. So you also can be on the wooing committee for Kansas City. You can present your arguments.
The hell out of him.
And,
I'm a hell of a wooer.
Yeah, you're a great wooer. We'll figure out. I don't know what his barbecue preferences are. We'll bring him a buffet. Hope we get lucky on that one, I guess, that it really wins him over, because that's a real selling point. What else do we have? Lots of money
fountains.
From John Sherman.
Love fountains. Maybe
Does
maybe
like fountains?
Maybe it's a weird, like, she has a weird kind of like fountain fetish, and we just kind of luck into this thing. He's like, I want to go to the place that has the second most fountains in the entire world. Rome doesn't have a baseball team. That's
nope.
number one. So Kansas City does. I'm going there.
You know, if a fountain fetish is what it takes, then I think that's something
oh, yeah.
we simply have to rally around. I think we have to normalize fountain fetishes. Beard just looked at me like
about
he's
time.
Just checking. I know. We're starting to see
I heard
mix.
The silence and I went, wait a second.
We're starting to actually get mix real ulterior motives here, which is that he just wants to normalize fountain fetishes for no particular reason.
All fetishes. Not all.
Most?
Lot.
Some? A bunch? What number in particular?
7.
How about this? We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll eliminate some teams from the McNipples region.
Yeah,
as we're already filling out next year's bracket is going to just have mixed fetishes. That one we might need more than 16 seeds, but I frankly don't really want to
another
know
bracket called Is Jason Ever Here?
That bracket.
Mick Schaefer in the Zone is brought to you by Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon, home of the two-story biscuit sandwiches from Denver Biscuit Company all morning, New York-style hand-tossed pizza all afternoon and evening from Fat Soli's, and 20 beers on tap all the time. Experience it today at 42nd and Pennsylvania in Westport.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
The more dead puppies there are in the world, the more that's going to dilute the cuteness of the puppies that we have right now. Less puppies means more cute, okay? They said it in Incredibles.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Mick Schaefer from TV, KSHB 41 Sports Director with us here in the Zone. Mick, you ready? Gosh. You ready for Mick Nipples?
Absolutely. Both of the McNipples, what are we calling bits of sound, have they moved on to the Sweet 16?
I've got great news. And I think tomorrow when Jason's back, we're going to reset the Sweet 16 so everyone can hear who they're rooting for. But the original McNipples was a 3-seed Gonzaga. McNipples, a 2-seed UCLA.
Here we go.
We are getting Mick's Nipples versus McNipples in the Sweet 16. At least one of those. I mean, well, only one of those will be in Elite 18.
Some nexus of the universe here.
It's beautiful.
Mick's Nipples and McNipples playing each other.
I just imagine you're going to be Eric Musselmaning that whole time because that's clearly. I don't know if it's like a left versus
my
right
nipple.
Yeah, good.
They're
question.
They're both on the left coast.
Yeah. I don't know. Figure that one out. Maybe just get like some little temporary tattoos you can put on each one of them, like little pasties, a little Gonzaga one, a little UCLA one. Tweet that out. Just text it to me. Whatever. I mean, you know, just however, as long as I get it.
The loser have to cut one off.
I think that's only fair. Yeah, I think you got to put your nipples where your mouth is.
Be down to one pepperoni.
Beard, what's your favorite pizza topping?
Cheese.
Used to be pepperoni.
It didn't until about 10 seconds ago. That was weird. Let's eliminate some sound. This is the last region we haven't sent all of our losing teams packing from. And we're going to start from the bottom and move up here because we've already lost our 7-seed Northwestern. They fell to the McNipples of UCLA. So we say goodbye to our 7-seed representing Northwestern.
They took the shot with 15 seconds left. Grady Dick could have pulled it out. But then he decided to go and attack. And he could have stopped attacking. Sorry. Instead, he decided to penetrate, and then he got fouled, and then Keontae Johnson goes back, and then he went to the bucket. God.
That is eliminated.
That was staged, right?
It was. I think the second time probably was. The first one sounded legit to me, though. I've wondered that many times. I've not yet asked Jason because theater of the mind lets me continue to enjoy it. We also lost our 14-seed Grand Canyon. They lost to Gonzaga, so we lost this sound.
Oh, nice.
Your day can only get worse from there.
Yeah, man.
You sure you want to play this game and talk to us? You got a softie from Lebo. Lebo softie eliminated. Arizona State, the 11 seed, they won a play-in game, but then they fell to TCU, so we lose our Arizona State 11 seed representing.
Touch the sausage all you want. Just not the beefcake.
A lot of meat in this category. Remembering now, that's the McNipples region. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. It's all about the McNipples. And also, even though TCU advanced, they did also fall to Mick's Nipples. So our 6th seed is out of the tournament.
And it's got so many cool applications, and it's, you know, like you said, launched on Wednesday. So there's so much going on right now and so many different things that you can do to create your sports content the way you see it, the way you like it.
What if I wanted to show my hoo-ha? Could I do that? Mm.
Totally contextless. Don't remember what led to that point. Just know that Jason was really insistent on trying to show his hoo-ha to Mark Schlereth, who hasn't been there. We also lose our third. Uh-oh, breaking news.
Mecole Hardman, one-year deal with the Jets.
Oh!
I mean, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah, that, huh. All right.
Well, you mean Zach Wilson.
The
same difference, really, right?
The Jet lands with the Jets, huh?
Yeah, the Jet with the Jets.
Well, so Jeremy Fowler's tweet says Mecole Hardman has agreed to terms with the Jets on a one-year deal, more speed for Cleveland's offense. Tom Pelissero's tweet says the Jets agreed to terms with wide receiver Mecole Hardman per source.
Schefter has also said Jets.
Okay. Not sure where Cleveland got involved, but... trying to keep his options open, I suppose. All right. Well, I really thought that Hardman's chances of sticking around for a one-year deal in Kansas City, if it was going to be a one-year deal, that would have made a lot of sense. Okay. Wide receiver group keeps getting thinner for the Chiefs. Let's talk about that more. I'm guessing we'll do that a little later, a little tomorrow.
You thought he was coming back?
Cleveland Jets. I thought there was a chance he could as his market. If it was going to be a one-year deal, I think I would have bet on him coming back to Kansas City. Because it's not a new system. It's not a quarterback who is going to be objectively hateful to you for not knowing all the hand signs he invented 20 years ago.
Because you know Aaron Rodgers is really good with all that kind of stuff.
That's the point I was making.
Yeah.
Is that you wouldn't want to play for a quarterback who is hateful to you because he hasn't. You haven't taken his hand signs.
He brought all those guys with him to New York, hypothetically.
Yeah, even though he's not.
Can he pass a physical? Where's he at physically? I want to know.
Here we go from Ian Rappaport. 1 year deal. None of these numbers mean anything with this caveat. With a chance to make $6.5 million, source said. That means there are incentives involved. We don't know what his base salary is. When we know, we will we'll let you know. But there you go. Mecole Hardman on his way to the Jets. Zach Wilson's team adds another weapon. Let's try to blaze through the rest of our sound here, and then we'll keep some time to see whenever that the details to that come out, because we also have to say goodbye to our 13 seed here featuring Mick Schaefer.
I was one of those TV people. I was out there doing a man on the street.
How was it?
It's great sound.
Really is. As is our 12 seed, VCU, eliminated. RIP.
So did it turn out to be like soft, or was it a firm butt?
Well, I thought there would be a bigger crust on the butt. Mm. I don't think I had the heat high enough to crust up the butt.
Mm-hmm.
But the color was nice on it.
Nice colored butt is always what you're looking for.
And it tore apart very easily.
You tore that butt apart, Lebo.
I'd have to get to your wife for...
She's not buying that either.
Denise might.
I don't know.
She thinks you're crazy as f***.
So if the one that's on there that says that you can like have some sort of an awful thing with your perineum. They say that on there. It's like a torn taint or something with this thing.
You won't have your panties vacation in a wad?
Oh. You think I'm taking underwear on this trip, Nate? You crazy.
Wow. Damn Brock Purdy coming to spread your ass.
Man.
Whoa, what?
Come over here, fat girl, or you tickle.
Hey, yeah, hey, hey.
Tickle fight.
Bizarrely underseeded as a 12 seed there, but some of Lebo's best work from 2022 into 2023. Truly an excellent one. We also say goodbye to the 5 seed, St. Mary's. They fell to UConn, so we say goodbye to our representative for St. Mary's. You guys have been doing a lot of agreeing. Can I disagree with something?
Please, go ahead. Yes,
lay it on us,
yes,
and then we will double team you.
Matt Derrick.
We're all sophomores in high school.
Yeah, this whole region is just the mixed sophomores region, for sure, which is represented nowhere better than by our one seed, which has unfortunately fallen. Kansas is out. So is this sound.
Since I go on every week with you guys, I've kind of channeled my inner Nate, where I just dominate the long question. Don't let my partner speak.
You've learned well, young Padawan.
Eight.
That's it?
Eight.
Don't want to say one of Greg Gurley's favorite words. Eight.
Did you hear that? That's mean spirited. That's not fun. He said the answer is one of your favorite words. Eight. That's not.
Oh, wow.
You see?
Little guy with a fat joke.
I was calling it a women's MMA event last night, Greg.
Who won?
Nate.
I highly doubt that. I would say whatever it costs to sit courtside at Nate in an MMA fight.
Could happen.
It didn't last very long.
Well, so what?
Not surprising.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the fight.
Did they catch some breaks during?
Sure.
You just said, like, that was a little fool's gold. It's the same type of thing. Like, okay, well, that's...
That would have been a great image, just Nate sitting on a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. Fool's gold with a little hat.
Greg Gurley will tell us what he ate down in New Orleans last night.
I don't know, do we have that much time?
Probably best to be the bigger man and then not really say what's exactly on my mind, because that's left for others. But
Let's be honest, Greg, you're usually the bigger man.
Damn.
Hey, hey.
Wow.
Good job, Nate.
Girly, what are you doing?
What are you
throwing fastballs right down the middle? What do you think he's going to do? As soon as you said that, I said, oh, boy, here we go. I could hear Nate jumping out of his seat when you said that, and I'm 30 miles away from him. So
I thought when you're in a high chair, you get to
any chance that Nate could get an invite to that reception?
We are going to be at a restaurant, so yeah, we might need someone to clean up. Mm-hmm. I'll just put you in my pocket, and you can hop out every once in a while, ask for autographs.
Shout out to my nephew, Callan, as a sophomore, is getting work with the varsity at Shawnee Mission South. Following in your footsteps there, Greg. I just thought I'd shout that out.
Yeah, well... Does he have a lot of the Bucati traits?
He's vertically challenged like me for a little bit, but he's clearly a little more talented as a basketball player. There's no way I would have played varsity basketball at a school the size of Shawnee Mission South like him.
I completely agree with
you. For a special treat for fans, instead of actually throwing towels and things, we're actually going to throw Greg Gurley off the stage into the crowd.
Take a few of us.
man.
A brutal battle every year, always a tough bit of audio to say goodbye to, but KU falls, so does the Nate Gurley combo. And that has us up to date, so tomorrow we will recap what our remaining 16 teams are, and we'll make sure everyone's aware of where your rooting interests need to lie, but ultimately I'm just, whoever wins UCLA-Gonzaga, I'm really hoping just wins the whole thing at this point.
Absolutely. It's one of my body parts.
I actually think there might be a few of those.
I've never had a body part, if you can believe it, make the Final Four.
Really? This would be your first body part to make the Final Four?
Would be.
You've never been to the Final Four?
That's a good point. All my body parts have made a Final Four. My body parts have won a national championship.
But only one of your body parts can get to a Final Four on its own. That's why you lead with the McNipples.
Why I lead with them. Puff my chest out.
If you do get a McNipples team into the Final Four, I think at the very least what you owe America, and hopefully we have the Twitch cameras working soon.
I'll take my shirt off.
I think you just come in wearing your usual outfit and just cut two little circles right there. Just so, and maybe that way you're just showing off the winning one. We got to figure out which one's the left one, which one's the right.
All right, we'll do, is Drew Timmy right or left-handed?
I have no idea. How would I know?
He's right.
I can't remember.
All right, we'll do UCLA left nipple and Gonzaga right.
There's an L in UCLA, you know? L for UC left A. That's what it stands for, I think, right?
There's two L's in Bulldogs, though.
Well!
And there's an R in Bruins.
Okay, well, so that's not very helpful.
Let's do Bruins on the right, then, and Bulldogs on the left.
So the opposite of what you said just a second ago, and the opposite of what I said just now. Yeah. Beards, which one of your nipples do you want to submit for tournament contention?
The middle?
I'd say probably my right one.
Okay, it's nice to know that you have a favorite, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I was thinking that you'd have, you know,
you ever
so many
stare
options.
In the mirror and, like, look at your eyes long enough to you see, like, one smaller than the other, and you get freaked out, and all of a sudden that's all you can see? I've never done that for my nipples, but maybe I'll do that and see if there's, like, any sort of... Like, are they maternal twins? Are they paternal? Or are they, you know, which one?
Sometimes I get bored during commercial breaks, and it's awesome to know that that's not going to happen in this one.
Nick Schaefer's brought to you by Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon. As seen on Food Network, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and Man vs. Food, try it today at 42nd and Pennsylvania in Westport.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Final hour on a Wednesday, hump day edition of the show. Speaking of that, Mick Schaefer joins us, KSHB 41 Sports Director. Hey, guy. Huh? How you doing?
Hump it away.
Yeah.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hey, I remember that guy, Jason. I remember when he was on the show, and then he left for Utah, I believe.
His voice sounded really familiar, but I could not place it. You said it was Jason?
One of the Andersons. I think they might have both... Correct me if I'm wrong, both moved to Utah.
Yeah, it was something. They're brothers, right?
And cousins.
Brother cousins.
And one is the uncle of the other.
Utah. I mean, at least they found the right spot.
Andersons. Jeez.
That family tree is a circle.
It just doesn't branch.
It's a shrubbery.
Doesn't branch straight up.
It's a family bush. Oh, no.
Hey!
Mick Schaefer's with us. Hey, Mick!
One of those.
Hey, buddy. What's going on? How you doing? Hey, guy.
I'm good.
We're talking about the Chiefs in the break. You want to share your Chiefs stat with everybody, or is that going to be saved for TV later?
Well, that's fine. And it's like an unofficial stat. I might have glossed over one.
It's a fun thought experiment.
Current Chiefs players, guys currently on the Chiefs roster. So I did this counting yesterday. So Mecole Hardman wouldn't have counted, right?
Right.
And like Justin Watson doesn't count, but he doesn't pertain to this anyway. Right. So the guys currently on the Chiefs roster, how many, Beards, how many won both Super Bowls and are currently with the Chiefs?
How many wide receivers won both Super Bowls?
Just Chiefs, period.
All together.
The entire roster.
Of the current guy, what is it, a 53-man roster now, or do they have more?
Yep.
I mean, run it back, at least 30.
No. That won both?
Run it back.
No, I'm not asking for a slogan. I'm asking for a number. How many do you think?
30.
I don't know if you understand.
This is how Beards plays these games. It's okay. Now you say the actual answer.
It's 8.
Whoa!
There we go.
That's so much less than Beards thought.
He's throwing me off by saying run it back. Predicting something. I mean, don't predict something.
It wasn't the perfect execution of our long-running bit.
Mick's new around here.
I am.
Well, it's the first time Mick's been on a show without Jason, and well, no, it's not true, actually.
It's the first and last time I ever turn back and ask a question to Beards.
Beards! Sometimes you learn your lessons, and that's how that goes.
So, the count of Patrick Mahomes.
One.
Travis Kelce.
Christopher Jones.
We had, who are the other?
Derek Nottie.
Nick Allegretti.
Harrison Butker.
That's 6.
James Winchester.
There you go.
And
a technicality.
But Austin Ryder was on both teams, was not on the 2020 team. If you wanted to make, you can say who played in all three Super Bowls for the Chiefs. Could be an entirely different game if you want. And that would eliminate Ryder, right?
Yes.
So.
Well, he was gone 20 and 21, right? Or just 1 year?
He was just gone one of those years.
And so
years.
He didn't play this
Seattle,
year, but I think so he was on practice squad like all year, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've talked a little bit about that little, like, the little rope-a-dope of you let Ryder walk, and they brought in Austin Blythe that year, and they drafted Creed Humphrey anyway, and
which
all
which Austin
that.
Is it? They all run together
there's
for me.
There's
they're
an
all,
Austin
all
at center.
They're all Austins.
He
started in that first Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I played pretty well.
He's
and
a good player.
Got a little money,
player.
I think, from Seattle.
I mean,
I think that's right.
I mean, when you're on the same team as Creed Humphrey, you're not going to start at center.
Right, which, when he signed, didn't know yet. So you asked on Sound Off on Sunday. We talked about the Chiefs wide receivers and everything. We've gotten some little reports here and there. DeAndre Hopkins is heating up, but then is it really?
I don't think with the Chiefs, though.
Odell Beckham, he's looking for a spot, but is he really ready to sign? And now Mecole Hardman, one-year deal with the Jets. Don't have actual numbers yet, but it's initially up to 6.5. Also, I mentioned Connor Christopherson tweeting here, I'd be very surprised if the base value of this is in at least $3 million, which would free up a fifth-round comp pick for the Chiefs.
Oh,
so
good.
You're hoping that the base contract for Hardman, not including the incentives, is at least $3 million or more.
Absolutely. And are we getting to like the LeBron James portion of Patrick Mahomes' career, just challenging him to see, like, okay, can you win with this much of a depleted roster? Can you win with zero wide receivers?
Can you win a Super Bowl going back? You're going to run it back to this, run it back to the era where the Chiefs just didn't throw touchdowns to wide receivers at all. Just give you a full roster of tight ends and running backs.
Throw back even farther. Can you win it?
Seems like they're playing.
Can you play both ways? Can you play safety?
Hey, Shohei Ohtani, fascinating. Let's do it in football. Yeah. Mahomes, you're playing center now. You're playing safety now.
Shohei Ohtani, right? You know, upstage you, Patrick.
Exactly.
Play both ways.
I think that's the way to do it, and I think he's probably going to consider. I have been worried that there have been times when, like, Spags has had to hold him back on the sidelines, like when somebody goes down with injury or
Hail
whatever.
Hail Mary at the half or whatever. You do that jump ball, and sometimes Kelce comes in there. Mahomes just runs out there and says, hey, Sneed, you're out.
Imagine if Patrick Mahomes just took Nick Bolton's helmet, so he's got the green dot, you know, he could keep his original helmet, I suppose, and now he's calling the defense.
Yeah.
There's got to. You don't want to. Listen, you're playing with 11 hitters, but you've got Patrick Mahomes in the middle of your defense.
Mahomes could probably get away with doing whatever he wants on the field. He can go in at any time and just stare back at Spags, right?
I think so.
If Mahomes wasn't such a great guy, he could really put his foot down on stuff.
I feel like this is the that'll be his Aaron Rodgers era. Is going to be him demanding to play more. Like he will personally make sure that the next time Harrison Butker gets hurt, that he himself is the
Someone like Aaron Rodgers is like, no, I need more help. I need more help. Mahomes is like, no, I don't need him.
That is give me tougher battles.
I am actually shocked we haven't seen him pitch in a Royals spring training game yet.
Oh, man, that just got to be that arm is too valuable, right? Because that's definitely going to happen.
Okay, put him at second base then.
I'm down. I'm not against it. I would probably let him pitch. But I would definitely, yeah, look, let him catch. Can't be worse than MJ Melendez defensively. Baseball joke! Anyway.
Listen, boy, can he hit, though. He's already had a knee issue before. We don't need to bend it down all that much.
No, that's true.
Also, they stopped him from playing basketball.
You know, a lot of cutting. And so if you put him in left field, you know, at least it'll get him out there, give him some at-bats. I fully support this. You know what else I support? I support Atomic Cowboy. That's the home of Denver Biscuit Company and Fat Sully's.
I supported them last week by eating their food for free.
And they supported you for, really, I think I can ride the Atomic Cowboy high for like a week. Of like, oh man, my week is better because I had this experience. So it's about time that we go back again, because that was Thursday. So I guess maybe I'm just going to go. Jason's going to be back tomorrow. He hasn't talked into a microphone in like a week and a half. He doesn't need us.
He could probably run the show from back there. Beards, push all the buttons.
Cool. He's going to have an incredible amount of energy. Let's go eat at Denver Biscuit Company. If you haven't yet, it's in Westport, and you're missing out. You can search Atomic Cowboy, Denver Biscuit Company, Fat Soli's. Your GPS will get you all to the same place. It is an absolute treat, and you will be very glad you went. 4144 Pennsylvania Avenue in Westport. Mick Schaefer is brought to you by Atomic Cowboy Sports.
Thanks, AC.
So, thanks, ACSS. I think AC is good, man. They got the neon AC up on the roof. I love AC. Atomic Cowboy, air conditioning. Ashton Kutcher.
It's okay.
I guess Twitter handle is famously A plus C.
It is?
No, it's A plus K.
Okay.
AC Green?
It's Green.
AC Slater.
Oh, yeah.
Any other ACs we can get before the end of this? This AC, awful comedy. Aaron Carter. Almost comedy. My ACs are gone. All comments that I could make. Mick is really digging for one. I'm going to need one from you, Mick.
I got nothing.
Nothing?
No.
That's not very Atomic Cowboy of you at all.
Patrick Mahomes?
Bye, Mom.